Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
I want to invite Angela Daggett to come read our scripture for today.
Good morning, church. Our reading for today is from Revelations chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Like barefoot, only better. Minimus from New Balance. Let's make excellent happen.
So it's amazing what you can find when you YouTube walking on fire, which apparently there's also a great early 80s song, Walking on Hot Coals, if you've ever heard of it. But I didn't know who sang it or even where it was from, but then I looked at the clothes and the hair and thought, that's probably 1984 or something like that. So a lot of you have pictures of 1984, so we should do a whole worship where we just show pictures of that. I think that would be great. So Mitch Hedberg is a comedian who would not necessarily usually be appropriate for worship, I would say, nor necessarily appropriate for anything, but he's hilarious, I will say. And he passed away a little while ago, and one of the things I was reminded of in this sermon is this one-liner. All he did was quip one-liners the entire time. He never had a flowing narrative of thought or anything. And he had this one-liner that says, I was at this casino minding my own business, and this guy came up to me and said, you're going to have to move. You're blocking the fire exit. And I thought to myself, as though if there was a fire, I wasn't going to run through the door. The point is, if you're flammable and have legs, you're never blocking a fire exit. See, fire is one of the scariest things that we can see coming at us. I don't know how many of us want to go out when we hear of a wildfire. You know, crazy people chase tornadoes. They chase hurricanes. No one goes to a wildfire to, you know, capture inside the wildfire reporting, because there's a pretty good chance they know they're being burnt to a crisp. I mean, something is going to change of that. It's wild. It's untamed. It's something that when you see a fire coming at you, there's a pretty good chance you're going to change in some form or fashion, that something about you will be different. Now, on the opposite hand, that fire is a very comforting feeling when it's cold outside. When you have no fire about you, the fire is warm and it's comforting. But when you have that fire, it only becomes more dangerous. It only becomes more potential for burning. It only becomes more potential for your house crumbling at the very end, leaving nothing but embers and ashes and hot coals around you that you must walk through to rebuild your life. Which coincidentally, I believe, is why some people are scared of the Holy Spirit. And not so much some people, but why I believe Christians are scared of the Holy Spirit. Why people who are in the confirmation process, this entire form of your life, not just the year that they take it during sixth grade here at Stonebridge, or whatever year they take it, or even 6 months they take it at any other church, but the confirming process that every day you wake up and you profess your faith through everything that you do and everything that you say, and it's this confirmation of all of the creed, the beliefs that we believe as United Methodists, as Christians, why sometimes we run away from that. Because when you don't have the fire and you hear about the Holy Spirit, you hear the refining fire and the love and grace of God, most of the time that sounds really awesome. And when you talk to non-believers or people who have fallen out of church, it's the grace, it's the love, it's that refining, purifying Holy Spirit that sounds really, really good. It's only the logical steps of, well, how does that work, that seem to be the problem. And it's only the actions of a lot of people who have already said, yes, I like that fire, but I'm not so much living in the fire that caused them to stay away as well. In last week, we showed that the rushing, peaceful water of baptism can also be a horrible, or not horrible, but a wonderful, almost violent at times, rushing river that carves away at stone, that creates things like the Grand Canyon. And fire is the exact same way, that when you come in here and you see red on the cross, you see, you know, this, which is a wonderful, wonderful designed, almost pagan-looking altar on the, you know, here, which Melissa Dobbs, great job, by the way, designing this, and Jenny Brand, great job designing. Y'all do awesome. Fire on the screen and everything, and the first thing you think of is he's preaching about hell today. Oh my gosh, should we go get a donut instead? What's he going to tell me? Because we're afraid of fire. And we also just see fire as this bad thing because we have the fire. You showed up here for a reason. There are not many people who come to church on Sunday morning for fun. I mean, there's golf to be had. There's hunting to be done. There are things that get those visceral reactions of endorphins a lot more, although I would say that if you're really buying into the fire, church is one of the most fun places to be. And so obviously there's something about you, something about me, that gets us up on Sunday morning and we come here and we're somewhat excited to be here, if not overly excited to be here. But when we see fire, we start to run. We start to get a little afraid because it's coming at us. It's wild. It's untamed. And we're not sure we like what that's going to do to us. Whereas somebody else might come in and feel warmth and feel cozy in this place where we're talking about challenge, we're talking about change, we're talking about polishing, we're talking about refining. In Revelations, the fire is this image that comes up a lot. Yeah, the main image of Revelations that everyone takes away is mentioned like twice, and it's the lake of fire. And it's this kind of freaky, scary book with all these images of beasts and different things like that, which the book of Revelations has a lot of code and a lot of mystery and a lot of different things. We probably need to do a sermon series on Revelation just because it's there and it has a lot. I mean, it's a really great book if you study it and really know the hope and promise that is behind it all. But in all of the uses of fire that even seem scary, it's this purifying notion about it. The lake of fire that's mentioned is where the evil is thrown into. That the devil is thrown into. It's all the things that plague our world are thrown into the lake of fire. It's not like God is just simply flicking people for fun into the lake of fire. It's meant to make this world a better place. It's meant that this would be a more holy arena for God to work in and for God's people to live and be safe and risk-taking in their mission. In Revelations 3, 18 through 20 that we read on screen today and the angel read so great, it's a part of a letter to the church of Laodicea. And in this part of the letter, in this scripture, you find three different things that the city of Laodicea was known for. There was the, play on what they were known for. They were a textile factory. They were like the fashion avenue of this trade route of the Roman Empire. And so the white garments that they talk about, Laodicea was actually known for a black glossy wool. And so they created these beautiful black glossy garments that went all over, and they made a lot of money doing this. And so the Lord says, instead, put on white garments. And there's really no distinction in the color necessarily. It's just the opposite of what you're doing. And then they talk about this eye salve. They had a medical community, and they had this eye ointment that they created that would cure infections in the eyes. And the Lord says, take that eye salve and open your eyes to the true nature of what life is about. Take that eye salve that you so boast in, that makes your community rich and famous, that heals the scales off of eyes, and take those scales off. And the third thing they mention is gold. Now, the gold wasn't mined in Laodicea, but was traded regularly. This was a center of commerce along a trade route. And so people from all over the Roman Empire are going back and forth trading goods, and there's a lot of money changing hands. Now, trading at this point in the world didn't have a whole lot of regulation to it. It was whatever is going to make me the most amount of money and whatever is going to take the least amount of stuff away from me so I can sell more stuff. And so there was underhanded dealing, there was unfair prices, there was different things that, hey, we still see those today, don't we, in a lot of the world. And in chapter 3, verse 16, the author quotes what a typical citizen might say with these success stories of their linens and their gold trading and their eye salve, their medical community. What a typical citizen might say, chapter 3, verse 16, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. Now, not everyone in this room is wealthy. We, you know, part of being in the top five place to live in the United States, when you look at how they rank that, there were some quality of life things, there were parks, there was activity, but a lot of that had to do with, do we all have jobs? Is our median income high? What's the poverty rate look like? And all those in McKinney, Texas, Frisco, Texas, Allen, Texas, they're all pretty high, except for the poverty rate seems to be pretty low, except in certain pockets. And so by virtue that most people have an income, most people have money, this is a great place to live. And so thought the people of Laodicea, is we've got the resources to take care of everything that we could possibly need to take care of. And if there isn't an answer to it, we'll buy an answer, we'll figure out an answer. And a lot of people who have already accepted Christ and have already even been through many disciple Bible studies and a lot of other things get to this place where they think, I've got it all figured out. Or they get to a place where they think, I've got enough. And so why do I need to buy anymore? Why do I, you know, what I have is good enough. Why do I need to refine it or know any more about it or make it more pure and holy? And so we come to this standstill where we are comfortable and we say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. And what the Lord talks about when he says, I encourage you to buy gold refined in fire, is this very simple notion that we have no idea what wealth looks like. We have no idea what riches look like. We have no idea what the riches of the kingdom of heaven will look like. And we might have gotten it wrong with paper money and silver coins. We might have gotten it wrong thinking that we're rich in faith simply by coming to just worship every week. Or that we're rich in faith by just claiming the name of Christian and not doing anything that involves in the name. See, like in baptism, confirmation starts with this realization that we are not self-sufficient. And everyone who's taking confirmation this year, I want you to go through the whole time, and I want you to think about, why am I not self-sufficient? Now, this is particularly for you sixth graders who are taking confirmation, and in fact, if you're not in sixth grade and you're older than sixth grade and you have not taken confirmation and you'd like to, it's open. You can be 65, and I'll push for you to be able to take confirmation. It's a great process to go through. But if you're in sixth grade, there's no possible way that you can say you're self-sufficient. And so you might have a better understanding about this than someone who's 45, already had four jobs, has climbed the corporate ladder, and to go forward and tell that person, you're not self-sufficient, and that's what they've been working their entire lives to be. In this community, we pride ourselves on self-sufficiency. You hear not even just conservative, but all sorts of radio talk shows who talk about moochers. They talk about people who are on welfare. They talk about those people who don't want to work. They don't want to do anything because they are not self-sufficient. They have no drive to them, which in some cases is true, and which in many cases is not true. But all of us in our economic and our social standings, whatever our political leanings are, there's a message to you from this scripture verse. You are not self-sufficient. Because at the very base of everything lies God. And the people of Laodicea had lost that. They claimed God. Some of them even claimed Christianity. But they had lost the basis in God. They had lost the fact that they were not self-sufficient. Now the author of Revelation has to say this thing about refining gold. And I tried really, really hard, and it would have been really fun. I wanted to take a video camera into, there's some gold refineries in downtown Dallas. And so I watched some videos, and I researched. I wasn't able to take a video camera in there. But it's a really interesting process that when you sell gold, or when they find, you know, scrap gold, if there's such a thing, or even when they mine gold, that when it comes out, it's not this 24-karat stuff that we give our fiancé. It's not the wonderful necklaces that we all wear to church or we all wear to our businesses. It's this really rough, unpolished core thing. And even the old jewelry that they have, what they usually melt down is like the 10-carat stuff, the 14-carat stuff, you know, junk, stuff like that. And nowadays, they take this 10-carat, 14-carat gold or less, anything less than 24-carat gold, they take it, they put it in a big vat, they heat it up, first they treat it with all these chemicals that help dissolve some of the impurities about it. And they stick it in this big vat and they heat it up to just like sun-like temperatures. And it melted all away. Now, in the Church of Laodicea and at this time when they refined gold, they didn't have all the fancy chemicals to really prep it. They just simply stuck it in these blazing fires, and they melt the gold away. And when gold melts away, it's almost like oil and water, that the alloys and the silver and everything else inside the gold rises to the top. And so you've got this big liquidy vat of molten gold with these speckles of things, and it's not junk that they're scraping off of there. Remember that. It's not like worthless material. It's silver. It's jewels. It's these various things that are still valuable metals. But the thing is it's not gold. It's not the refined product. It's not what everyone wants. And so they skim the silver and they skim the jewels. They skim everything else off the top, get the alloys out, and they put it into a mold of a gold bar or whatever they wanted to make it. And there we have 99.9999% gold. Pure gold. But you don't get to that process by sticking it into an icebox. You don't get to that process by simply leaving it out in the lukewarm areas. You get to that process through fire. There's a reason why confirmation as it stands here at this church is almost a year long, and it's not easy. Those kids are walking across hot coals. They are going through the fire. Because they've got to get up, you know, every Sunday morning, 9:30, they go there, and it's not like chit-chat Sunday school. They're learning about the history of United Methodism, the history of Christianity. They're studying Scripture. They're asking the question, who is God? Which, when was the last time you just sat down there and asked yourself the question, who is God? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the church? And really thought about these questions because they're hard. I wonder if your small group might mimic that, might gain inspiration from these children, these youth who are going through confirmation and going through the fire. But when there's fire, we often run. When things start to get a little hot, how many of you have ever been in a small group or some kind of discussion where you started talking about homosexuality or the death penalty, or you started talking about abortion? You started talking about any of those hot button issues of the day that why we avoid in church, I'm not quite sure. Well, I'll tell you the reason we avoid them in church is because we don't want to make each other mad. And we don't want somebody else to think that we might disagree with them or that we have some other opinion that they might not like us for. Because what we see on CNN or Fox News or whatever is two talking heads battling out against each other, yelling at each other, and that's the only way that we think we can have a refining discussion. One of those people is evil and one of those people is good. That's the way we've been taught. There's fire and there's water. When in reality, when you're refining something, the fire gets so intense, but only the junk rises to the top. And none of you are junk. None of your opinions are junk. And so what if we allowed our small groups to refine themselves through fire, through holy conversation that gets a little hot, gets a little tense in your small group, and yet you can still go out to lunch afterward, you can still sit next to each other and worship, you can be okay with that fire and that heat in your relationships because maybe that fire is from God. Because really, even the scary kind of fire, the fire that we think is scary, that is not really scary in Revelation, is from God. Because the fire is there sent from God to refine us, to make us pure, to take the junk off the top so that we might be pure gold. And when we avoid that fire, we miss out on a refining process. We miss out on, well, what do I truly believe? What would I be willing to stick my neck out there for Christ? What does the community around me believe? And we miss out on these conversations. And we miss out on really who we are and who God created us to be. Now, I'm not going to show the video again, Jeff, but the video you watched at the beginning was this shoe commercial where a guy has a shoe on one foot and not on the other, and you kind of see him doing this, you know, thing across these hot coals. And I'm not going to do that again, just so you know. Maybe later. There you go, for all of you. And the whole point of the shoe commercial is that there's comfort, there's protection, there's something to take away the fire from us. And so when I talk about confirmation, when I talk about Christianity, you might think that we always focus on the glory and the peace and the grace of God, that we talk about Jesus takes the bullet for us. Jesus steps in the way so we don't have to go through the bad stuff. That he takes the evils, he takes sin away. And so we don't have to plunge our feet in the fire. We got a clear path. We can just coast on the wings of heaven and the wings of eagles and go off into glory. But thanks to a show called Mythbusters, I learned something about walking through hot coals that I think helps us. Because we're not supposed to be peaceful and not dive into God, are we? Well, apparently when walking on hot coals, that everyone, you know, if you see like the Mind Over Matter, the Tony Robbins people, they're all cool and calm and collected. And they say it's this focus of the mind. The mind can overcome pain. And so Mythbusters took this and said, well, what is the reality? How do you go across hot coals without getting burnt? And they showed all this, you know, typical, I want to say it's a college frat party or something that they showed this video of. And of course, all these people who were probably not of sound mind at the time, who were, you know, doing this through the hot coals, and they were freaking out when they got on the other end. They're rolling in the grass, which at least they remember stop, drop, and roll in their drunken stupor. But their feet are blistered up, and it's just this awful, painful experience. And so Adam from Mythbusters takes this group who teaches them that it's all about physics. That when you go across hot coals, that the more calmly and gentler you walk, the less surface pressure gets put on the hot coals, so the less burning that you feel. Yet when you plunge yourself deeply, when you're driving across fast, like when you're sprinting, I mean, think about when you're walking heel to toe, how that feels so nice on your feet. When you're sprinting, on your toes is this hard, impactful stride until you reach, you know, full running capacity and you're gliding. But when you're sprinting, your feet are hitting really hard. And so when they're driving down into the hot coals, surrounding your feet with hot coals and maximizing the heat that you're going to get. And so you might think, well, what a great metaphor for our faith. That if we just ease ourselves across, if we walk calmly with each other, as we walk peacefully beside the river with Christ, we won't get burnt. When in actuality, you want to get burnt. You want God's refining fire to come upon you. You want to continue to confirm that Jesus is doing something in your life. Now, Jesus is always going to be acting in your life. Jesus did act. The Holy Spirit continues to act. God still continues to act in your life. But as we talked about last week, you have to actually listen. You have to do something with that. You have to respond. And that every response that you make is confirmation. And I would rather see a congregation who is jamming their feet into the fire, getting burnt and getting reshaped, burning off those calluses against our enemies, burning off the calluses against God, that a congregation that takes it lightly and smoothly and never causes any ripples in the world. Because you're supposed to be refined like gold. And you're supposed to let the Holy Spirit, that fire from God, burn you up. Burn the junk. I wonder if we all took our schedules and our wallets and our priorities, our family structures. And I wonder if we held those up to the refining fire of God. Yeah, there's the old saying, cream rises to the top. Well, in this case, the junk rises to the top. Because the junk is usually what we put first before God. We put the junk and then we've kind of fill in, well, where can God come after that? And so I wonder if we took what's on top of our priority list right now and we just cut it off. We skimmed it off the top. We let it burn. And the smoldering coals underneath of Jesus Christ and the heat from the Holy Spirit, just as heat does, rises to the top. If we'll only cut off the cap above that. And so if you're someone who is not, if you don't like church, if you've never been to church, if you're not even a Christian, I invite you to take this as a welcome, warm fire. Relax in the grace and peace and coziness of God right now. But when you get to the point of several people in this room and you claim to have the fire inside of you, and so I'm speaking to everybody now, at least at some point in their life, that you've got to let yourself burn. Because John Wesley had this great saying that I'll end with, that if you let yourself burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit, people will come from thousands and thousands of miles to watch you burn. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that we would take steps across the coals, that we would embrace the fire and let it heat up our bodies, let it heat up our souls so that we might know what it truly means to burn for you in this world. God, we give you glory, we give you thanks, we give you all, because you are the one that brings us to peace, but you are also the one that brings us to fire. And so cool us and relieve us if that's what we need right now. Let us warm up with cool water or holy fire, but never let us stop there, God. Let us be that refining fire that whoever sees us coming knows that good transformation is on the way, that the world will be saved, that social justice will be done, that mission work will be done, and that all people will know the glory of a good life with you. And not just with you, but here on earth, Lord, that we can make it happen. So God, we ask that you would rain your fire upon us as we embrace in church together outside of these walls. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.